I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yep. Saturday morning. Appointment radio. You were taking a ride on what has been a few really, really hot days. But that's all right. It's better than rain. It's better than snow. And we got so many great things going on in Philadelphia. Well, kind of, sort of, maybe, I'm not sure. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that today as we do every Saturday and the other times that we talk about it when I'm on the air here. And where do you start? You start with the Eagles because football is king in America, and certainly king in Philadelphia. And the Eagles preseason game. We just can't wait to talk about football. Preseason stuff is really kind of, I guess to state it simply, is really kind of a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. That's probably the wrong way to put it. What does it mean? Not a waste of time, because there were a lot of fans out there. I don't know how many fans they had in the stadium. They announced 69,000 and whatever, because that's tickets that are sold. But there weren't 69,000 people there, because the club seat area was kind of open. But there was a lot of people there. There was at least 55,000 people there. Phillies had 22,000 for a real game against the Dodgers in the afternoon. And the Eagles had over 55,000. For an absolute make-believe game on Thursday night. And it was still hot on Thursday night. So here's the way we can discuss this. As I'm sure we have discussed it. No, we have discussed it on WIP. What in the game, I mean, there's one game in the books. What impressed you? What concerns you? And everybody looks at the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and your thoughts. It's pretty simple. What are your thoughts on Jalen Hurts? My thoughts are, he played okay. He played, I'd say, above average. 3 for 7 is not the true story. There was one drop. Made a couple of nice throws. I don't know what to think, but here's the thing is, did he get to his second read? Did he make the right decision on the pass? The only people that know that are the coaches when they watch the tape. And they'll look at it, you know, what was the read? And Joe Flacco looks good. Now, he is the backup quarterback. Let's not make any mistake about it. And I think he's fine as a backup quarterback. That's what he is. But he played well. But remember, when the backups come in, the backups are playing against second and third string and sometimes fourth string players, and in many cases, players that won't even be on those teams' rosters. I don't know how many starters or Steelers even played, if any, because their team is different. Does it make any difference who won or lost the game? No. Joe Flacco checked off on the play to Quez Watkins. We saw Quez Watkins is certainly fast. He should have caught that ball, a little bubble screen. And he just used his speed and the athletic ability. So Quez Watkins we know is going to be talked about all preseason. But what are your thoughts on the game? And take a look at Jalen Hurts. And I don't think you can tell from this game whether he's not a franchise quarterback. Not yet. I don't know if he'll ever be. And you just hope he's good. But I don't know what you can determine from this one game. And I don't know if you're going to be able to determine from any game. A lot of teams aren't even playing their starters. Buffalo won last night without their starting quarterback, and I'm sure without most of their starters, if not all of them. It's like coaches don't even treat the preseason. They don't even use that as value because they use their practices. And now teams are scrimmaging with other teams, as the Eagles will do next week with the New England Patriots, who they play next Thursday night. And they'll get most of what they want to see from those scrimmages. So I would say next Thursday night, Jalen Hurts may play only a couple of series again, if he even plays that. The offensive line starters may play a couple of series if they only play that. It's kind of a shame. They should eliminate the preseason. They should just eliminate the preseason and just have them as games. And I'm sure people would still come out to the games. I'm just trying to think. Probably in 2 years, we're going to have an 18-game season. So they'll cut down another preseason game, which is okay. You'd rather have it as a real game than just a make-believe game, and that's what these games are. But whatever the case, people wanted to come out and wanted to see football, and that's what they do when they come out to see the preseason game. People that don't get tickets for the Eagles games come out to those games. All right. The Phillies. I'm not even sure. I kind of have my thoughts of what they really are anymore. And I don't think you're sure either. Are they going to win the division? Yeah, they possibly could in a terrible division. I think the Atlanta Braves are the best team. But the best teams don't always win. They have a little bit of a tougher schedule. Right now, the Braves are on a 9-game road trip, but they're playing that minor league team that they call the Washington Nationals. But the Phillies had their fling with that minor league team, and that's why they won 4 games. The Mets had their fling with that minor league team, and that's why they won those games. But I can't say they have no chance if they get to the playoffs, because you always have a chance. But I do not want to hear the term anything can happen, because anything will probably not happen. When you lose with Zach Wheeler on the mound, and Zach Wheeler said he was out of whack last night. That's why he didn't pitch well. He was out of whack. The Reds are a really good hitting team, and Joey Votto is on fire. Cincinnati Reds are good. I think the Reds are better than the Phillies, but it doesn't make any difference because they're in another division. There's a lot of teams better than the Phillies. They are what they are. They're an average team, and I'm not, you know, it's just, could they win the division? Sure, yeah, they can win the division. Are they good? They're just okay. They're just okay. They have trouble scoring runs against good teams. And that's the difference. The Dodgers were a good team. They had trouble scoring runs against them. Last night, they didn't score runs. And the Reds, the starter shut them out for, what was it, 6 or 7 innings last night? The Phillies won the only game again in the Dodgers series with 4 hits. 4 hits. That's not going to get it done. It is not going to get it done. And, you know, what you think of the Phillies, I don't think people are sold on the Phillies based on the attendance numbers. A couple of the Dodger games were just over 30,000, but there was a lot of Dodgers fans there. And the Mets, there was at least 5,000 to 8,000 Mets fans for the Mets series. So the Phillies fans still aren't sold on the Phillies. And I don't know that they'll be sold the rest of the year now that football started. And now the talk is because the media, the writers, need something to write. When they talk about the Phillies, somebody's obviously in there feeding ESPN when they mention Bryce Harper and he does something, MVP candidate. Bryce Harper's having a nice year. He's having a nice year, and he's, you know, I don't think anybody can complain about the year that he's having other than the injuries. However, he's not the MVP. He's not close to the MVP. And all this nonsense, and there was a story in the paper the other day, which is the headline's ridiculous, you know, basically calling the Bryce Harper the MVP. He's not the MVP. The MVP is probably Tatis. Then I would go Albies or Freddie Freeman from Atlanta. And then Joey Votto is a better MVP candidate than Bryce Harper. But, you know, they're putting it out there. I think Bryce Harper's going to do an interview. The game this afternoon is on Fox, and he's going to do an interview with Fox. I'm sure Scott Boras is at work here trying to touch base with as many people. And I think Bryce Harper, like I said, I think Bryce Harper's doing a nice job. But he's not the MVP. He's doing a nice job, but he's not the MVP. So we can talk about the Phillies, whether you believe him. Actually, the MVP on the team is Zach Wheeler. Even though he lost last night, the Phillies' MVP is Zach Wheeler. And now that DeGrom is out for at least another 2 weeks, I don't know how he can't win the Cy Young. And Zach Wheeler or Buehler for the Dodgers are the two guys that are going to win the Cy Young. And I think Zach Wheeler's probably going to win the Cy Young. But as far as he's not the MVP, but as far as the Phillies MVP, he is the Phillies MVP. So we can talk about that. And then the Sixers. I don't really give a damn about the Sixers anymore. They're so irrelevant. They are so irrelevant in this city these days. Irrelevant. The summer league is garbage. It's a waste of time. You get to see some rookies playing against rookies. So I don't know what, again, it's backups playing against backups. And you get to see the draft picks. Cunningham, the first pick in the draft, Cade Cunningham. Boy, Joel Embiid is going to have trouble guarding him. He's so fluid and so athletic. Joel Embiid will be gassed after 30 minutes. When he plays against Cade Cunningham, who's now with the Pistons. So they play them four times. But the Sixers are irrelevant. Ben Simmons doesn't talk to the coach. Ben Simmons rarely talks to the players. Who cares? Ben Simmons is a loser. He's out of here. He should be out of here. If Daryl Morey hadn't wasted his time with all his nonsense about getting multiple first-round picks for a stiff. There's so many players. I would take the rookies that are coming in the league over Ben Simmons. There's so many players better than Ben Simmons. It is a joke. The Sixers are irrelevant. Irrelevant. And that's going to be their season. Irrelevant. All right. All right. Here's what I'm going to do this week because I've met so many nice people. Again this week, I meet people every week. Hey, I always listen to you on Saturday morning, and it's nice that those people are listening, and I thank every one of you. I met a nice woman this week in one of the suites at the Phillies game. It was nice to meet you. But I meet people every week, and I thank people for that. And that leads me to the question. On August 29th, it will be my 35th anniversary when I first started at WIP. WIP's 35th anniversary of their first sports talk show. It was August 29th, 1986. So, and we're going to do this a couple of weeks because there's got to be over that period of time, heck, over the last 10 to 20 years, there's got to be a lot of things that you remember. So to sell, one of the ways that I'd like to celebrate is hear from you. For the $100 gift certificate to DeBruno Brothers, and check them out at DeBruno.com, or, you know, any one of their six stores, you would be absolutely overwhelmed and excited about. But what moments do you remember hearing on WIP since the start, but maybe a little more importantly, over the last 15 to 20 years, and what got you started listening to WIP? What moments you remember? You can concentrate on the moments you remember of things that I've done on the air. And I remember some moments that were I will always remember on WIP, and I think people will remember. So it's your thoughts. There's no best or worst, but ones that kind of, and Kyle's a millennial, so he'll hear things that he's never heard before, and we will come up with a winner for the $100 gift certificate this week. Next week, I'm going to ride in the Eagles Autism Challenge, so I will call in from the challenge, from the bike ride, but I will not work next week. And then the 28th will be the day before the anniversary, and I will do this again. So if you don't win this week, you can win another week. You can win every week for the $100 gift certificate for the Bruno Brothers. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you the number, 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. We got a lot to talk about. The Eagles, belief in the Phillies, yes, no, and the irrelevance of the Sixers. And they are flat out irrelevant. And we got a couple of moments in history that we're going to touch on today as well. The thing that I want to mention, Nick Sirianni will speak today. You know, he said a few times he's got to look at the tape. So today he has already looked at the tape. He will speak around 9:40. We're going to put Nick Sirianni on when he's ready to speak. We will put him on so you can hear him too. And that's right around 9:40. I was going to have Mark Lawrence to try to give us an overview of the football season, but we'll push that back to next week, even though it's the preseason, to kind of get a look at the overview, and we'll have Mark on every Saturday to take a look at football. So Nick Sirianni coming up at 9:40, a moment in sports which is etched in people's minds, and we'll have that. And we'll have your calls, 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is now 8:16, and if you're from around here, and there's a lot of people that were from around here, are from around here, and listen from another place, but you know the truth about treats. If it's not tasty cake, it's a miscake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins, that's a miscake. A spoonful of peanut butter, a bigger miscake. Or the worst miscake of all is your kid's Halloween candy. And if you still have it and you're still eating it, I mean, and it's August, that's a miscake. If it's not tasty cake, it's a miscake. Because nothing. And at this time of the day, you could always go for tasty cake. Because if you're driving by the store and you can pick up some tasty cake, go and do it. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet, a rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake, nothing. And all the other great favorites of tasty cake. Tasty cake, except no substitutes. 94. It is WIP on a Saturday morning. By the way, I think Arthur's going to call in today. He hasn't gotten locked up again. People always ask me, is he for real? Well, I don't know if he's for real, but he has legitimately been in jail twice. He is a convicted felon. So he is, in that sense, real. Jim, let's go to Jim. You're on WIP.
Yo, Howard, how are you today?
Never had a bad day in my life, Jim. It's just another day in paradise.
That was a little tricky, Howard. You know people get on you for that one.
Well, that's all right. I've had bad moments.
Your time.
I've had bad moments, but you can't have bad days.
I understand how you put it in your parameters that you had a good moment that day, and it wasn't a totally bad day.
If I have more good hours than bad hours. You can have 11 and a half bad hours of a day. As long as you have 12 and a half, and that, by the way, adds up to 24 for those people that can't.
You sure? Wait a minute. 12 and a half, I think. 12 and a half and 12 and a half is 25, Howard.
I said 12 and a half and 11 and a half.
No, I'm sorry.
I can have 11 and a half hours of bad moments, but as long as I have 12 and a half hours of good time, it's a good day.
Yeah. All right.
All right?
I'm not looking to argue over something as simple as that.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
I will argue this low-hanging fruit, though, Howard. You know this is an easy one. You know, people debate this all the time, and I'm definitely on the side I'm going to give you, that I don't hear nothing about a pitcher being the MVP of a season, of a team that won, or anything, unless he's won maybe 27, 28 games.
Well, I'm not going to – wait a minute. What I'm saying is Zach Wheeler is more has been more important to the Phillies than – to save their bullpen, because we know Joe Girardi, oh, you can't pitch a guy 2 days in a row. Oh, no, gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't do that. So he's helped save their bullpen. And as far as being the MVP of a team, I just think Zach Wheeler. Now, do I think he's the MVP of the league? No. No, of course not.
I know you didn't state that. But I'll give you three guys, Howard, where I totally disagree with you, that he's not above.
Let's deal with the point that I made.
Go ahead.
Is Bryce Harper the MVP?
Of this team?
No, of the league.
No, not yet. No, you have to go. You have to stay on fire for the rest of the season.
He's projected to have 68 RBIs.
It's not over yet, Howard.
He's projected to have 68 RBIs.
Hey, Howard, I was projected to be a thin man when I got older, to stay thin, but that didn't happen for me. So.
And I don't know if he's going to get to 30 home runs. He's going to be swinging for him. Hey, listen, he's had – I am not going to take away the kind of season – he's had a nice season. He's done a nice job.
Let's see what he does the rest of the way, Howard.
But he's not an MVP. Not when you have Tatis. Not when you have Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, Albies, I know you named the four guys. I know there's a couple guys.
Okay,
with better
Joey Votto.
Yeah.
Do you think Joey Votto is more of an MVP than Bryce Harper?
For right now, yeah, because he's on fire now.
But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about
right
now.
Are they giving out the award tomorrow? Or are they waiting until the end of the season? I'm telling you, they're waiting until the end of the season.
But you're projecting, so that's hypothetical. The way it is right now.
I gotcha.
Okay. Is Joey Votto more of an MVP right now than Bryce
Harper?
Yeah,
we already agreed to that. I don't know how you missed that. He's on fire right now.
Do you believe in the Phillies? Hey, genius. Do you believe in the Phillies?
Yeah, there you go with the insults. Hey, listen to me, hey, genius.
That's not an insult.
My father told me the way you're saying it sarcastically, it is. Like, you used to take cuz as an
insult. It's a term of endearment. Stop it.
And you know you're dead wrong on this, Howard, because I'm from South Philly and I'm half Italian. And the cuz is a term of endearment, dude. You used to take that as an insult for no reason. But anyway, just the way it's said.
I didn't say you did.
But anyway, what's the name, Howard? The thing you just said recently in the last few sentences, and let me get this one in. People who complain about guys who hit home runs and constantly talk about, all he does is swing for the fences. My father told me this when I was a kid. Those people are people who can't hit home runs. Were you a home run hitter, Howard, when you were a kid?
Well, I never complained about hitting home runs. I'm saying that's just what he's going to do.
Swinging for the fences. You said he'll swing for the fences.
No, I was a line drive hitter.
There you go. I seen you play basketball, Howard. Don't forget, I told you. I was down there in 82 and 83 doing a spectrum. When you guys used to play the media versus who did you guys verse? Sports writers versus radio personnel.
I think it was for PAL.
No, I know you're a good guy.
Let's not get into that. All right, what's your moment on WIP?
I think you want to get into me viewing you playing basketball, Howard. Okay. Let's agree with that.
What's your moment on WIP?
I'm going to have to go with the one, because you said recent is when I heard about Kobe. I heard it on WIP.
You're talking about a death.
Yeah, unfortunately I am, but it was a big moment.
Come on, Jim. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for moments that you remember that identify WIP. You know, Kobe's death was heard on a lot of stations, but WIP is unique in its own right on what people hear and listen to. And that's not the direction that I'm going. It's just like moments, whether it was guests, whether it was a moment. And I have one that stands out, and it has to do with, you know, kind of this date in history. Let's go to, who is that? Neil. Neil, you're on WIP.
Howard, hey, yes. I'm going to go back into the Wayback Machine. You had asked at the top of the show what got you into personally listening to WIP. 81-82 season, you were on the FM station, 96.5.
Yeah, well, let's deal with WIP. I was on the FM station.
All right. Well, I was actually, the reason I started listening to sports talk was because I was in sixth grade. My grandfather used to take me down the Sixers. And he used to ask me, he had a propensity for mispronouncing names. And he asked me in sixth grade, have you ever heard of Erskine? And I said, no. And since 82, I've been listening to you, but more from a WIP standpoint. The moment you had started you were the first AM talk show, obviously.
Right, yeah, that was August 29th. I did the first FM one, but that was in 2011.
Yeah, I remember Rulon getting hurt during the 87 season, and you had Al Domenico on an hour before a game he was supposed to come back.
Al Domenico was a trainer of the Sixers.
Exactly, and I remember Al Domenico, you could hear it in his voice, he was almost crying because they had traded Moses and all, and that's not, you know, an aha moment, but I just remember that vividly because that was the summer they had made all those trades and Charles was constantly complaining. And your interview with Al Domenico, I think it was January of 87, was spectacular. And this Al Domenico was, if you remember, Rulon's second injury, he was on the air with you, and you could just hear it in his voice. That's
now they don't let trainers go on the air.
What? I'm sorry?
Joke. They don't let trainers go on the air now.
I know, but I think they should. I mean, that was great radio when you used to interview him.
I didn't remember that, but there's a lot of things I do remember with people being on the air. Obviously, players have been on the air, but that's interesting that you remember that, and it's interesting that you go that far back. You must be, you're in your 50s?
51, yep.
Yeah. So it's just, it's amazing how many people started listening, and it's become pretty good for a lot of people since. But Neil, I appreciate the call. That's an interesting memory. Let's go to Sean. Sean, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. I got a moment in history that I want to share with you. I was going to talk about Phillies first.
Let's talk about the Phillies first.
Kind of agree with everything you said. I mean, it's amazing to watch. You know, they really struggle against good pitching. You know, we had that nice stretch of those wins. But it's like you're not sure what team's going to show up, including some of the pitchers. But it's kind of exciting. I know they had the alumni weekend last weekend and played well against the Mets. And it was exciting to see the ballpark start to fill up a little bit. Look, I'd love to see them win. I don't think we'll go very far, but it's exciting to see a better brand of baseball overall over the last, like, maybe month. And kind of exciting and kind of keep us busy till the Eagles start.
Well, when you say it's a better brand of baseball, they played the Washington Nationals 8 times, basically, in the last few weeks.
At least they're winning the games they should be winning, is maybe what I'm trying to say.
But they're lucky. They were against Washington. Let's be honest about this. Washington had COVID problems the last time they played them. They had
yes, they did.
They traded away a bunch of players.
Yes, they did.
They were a double-A team. And everybody's beating up on Washington.
Well,
it's an embarrassment what they have done.
I agree, and I think the week before, I think we played the Pirates. We lose 2 out of 3.
And they lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates.
Right. So
people talk about what they've done. They won 8 in a row. They won 8 in a row against an awful Washington, a double-A team. The Mets couldn't score a little bit. The Mets got healthy when they played Washington, and then they got their confidence back. But now who did they really beat?
Nobody.
And that's what that you got to. Sometimes you got to look at it. Now you can only play who's on your schedule, and I heard that line 100,000 times. But the reality is, when they played the Dodgers, they lost 2 out of 3, and the game they won, they only had 4 hits.
Absolutely.
They lost to the Reds last night, so they're hoping they can win the next two and at least win this series. But the Reds are good. The Reds are better than the Phillies.
I agree. I mean, I guess just for me, it's exciting to see. This late in the season, we still have a chance to possibly win the division. We're not going to do much.
Because the division's so bad.
The worst division of baseball.
But do you believe in the Phillies?
No. I mean, we don't have enough young core players. We're just kind of like mixing and matching guys. I mean, you got to build. 2008, that core group of players was all homegrown. Guys that Ed Wade had drafted, and they brought up through the system. We have nobody in the system. So, no, I don't think we'll go very far, but exciting to see. But I want to share a memory.
Sure.
I want to say it was 1992 or 3. I was driving home from Temple University from school, and I was listening to you on WIP, and you broke the Magic Johnson AIDS story. which is pretty significant. I think he was probably the first prominent professional athlete to announce that he had contracted AIDS. And I was riveted. I think it took almost an hour to ride home, and I listened to you. And you did a really nice job of kind of combining news with sports. And it was kind of a moment I just kind of etched in my memory I'll never forget.
You know, we have opinions, but we also do news. Now, I'm sure other people had that story. It's just, it's the depth in which you get into the story, and WIP can get into those things with more depth. What started you listening to WIP? That's a question I have.
Probably just my love of sports, and, you know, 53, so graduated high school in the late 80s, and just my love of sports, and, you know, you were definitely one of the first voices that I heard. You know, just kind of the banter and listening and listening to different opinions. And just, I don't know. I think just Philadelphia is just such a sports-driven market community. It's just kind of fun. I mean,
Well, you know, Sean, I'm gonna register you for the $100 gift for the Bruno Brothers, because the fact that you remember a specific moment. There's other moments that I remember, and I'm gonna share it towards the end of the show. It was it had the 76ers coach at the time, who was Matt Gukas, sitting in his car, not going into the office, because he just was glued to the radio with this moment, and I was talking to somebody on the air, and it was an athlete. So I'll just give you a little bit of a hint with that. But hold on, Sean. We'll get all your info. 215-592-9494. And we come back. And again, Nick Sirianni speaking today to the media at about 9:40. We're going to carry that for you. And also a moment, it was a few days ago, but it was this time in history, which I know everybody remembers. And it wasn't a WIP moment. It was a moment. And for the $100 gift certificate with the 35th anniversary of my 35th anniversary at WIP, August 29th, and the first sports talk show on WIP, August 29th, 35 years ago. What you remember, a moment that you remember with me, what started you listening, and that you remember on WIP. 215-592-9494 is the number. The Phillies, do you believe in them? And what the Eagles, I want to get to the Eagles here. Your thoughts on Jalen Hurts. Again, it was only 3-for-7. So what were your thoughts? And what do you get out of that preseason game? Good, bad, or indifferent? 215, and I think you'll agree with me, that the Sixers right now are irrelevant. 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is 8:37. 94 WIP. All right, there was a moment, August 10th, a moment, and it was mixed into a WIP moment, but really it was an Eagles moment, an Eagles point of history moment, August 10th, 2005. That was the moment and there was problems with Terrell Owens and the Eagles. That was the moment that it became a joke when he was suspended by Andy Reid, and then he was doing sit-ups and working out in his driveway, and it was a media frenzy, and just some T.O. moments along with his wonderful agent, Drew Rosenhaus, which the whole thing was a farce. It was funny, but it was... I can't say that we covered it. It was a video and audio moment from Terrell Owens while he's doing sit-ups and working out in his driveway. Just let's hear a little bit of that. Well, his agent had no comment, too. Kyle, do you have Drew Rosenhaus, a couple of his responses to questions?
Yep, I got it.
All right, let's go with it.
You had made a mistake by having the contract renegotiated in midterm. Next question.
Is it pretty damning when the quarterback of the team comes out and says that we're better off without T.O.?
Next question.
Drew, why didn't he read the full apology like he's supposed to? Your client would not be in this mess had he done that.
Next question.
Do you want to blame him? What made the difference?
With ESPN. Are you saying that ESPN is responsible for this?
Next question. Next question.
Has he talked to the organization since he was suspended yesterday and expressed his apology, or is this the first time the Eagles are hearing from him?
I'm not going to get into private discussions with anyone on the team or the Eagles organization.
The whole thing. It was, I mean, I was out there. It was a laugh a minute. It was just ridiculous. That's, you know, we remember T.O. as a player, but we remember that. There's other things that I remember that I will bring up later in the show. But it was just absolutely unbelievable. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
I'm riding with the king. How you doing, Howard?
I'm good, John. How are you today?
You hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Cool. I just wanted to, you know, I like when you talk about the history because you bring back a lot of smiles on my face. I remember that whole T.O. farce. It was a farce. Actually, I am a T.O. guy. I was on his side because I thought that McNabb was always goofing off too much and he was soft.
Why do you think he was soft?
I think he was soft because he wasn't prepared. I can't say he didn't practice hard, but I just think that he just didn't have enough heart. I guess that's the word. And I don't want to get stuck on the T.O. thing and McNabb, but
right.
I remember there's a few memories, and I love the Phillies. I'll come back to them after this with the Eagles. But with the listening to you, I remember it was around Easter time one year, and you had said that McNabb was going to get traded to the Redskins, and everybody
Correct.
Was going to, and you had it on good authority, and I remember you told me that. And I went to this Easter dinner and told all my brother-in-laws, and they all were putting 50s up and 100s, and I wound up winning about $350 because 11 o'clock that night, WIP announced that they traded McNabb to the Redskins.
Well, you could, you know what? You could, since you didn't give me anything then, maybe you can make... Maybe you could make a donation to the Eagles Autism Challenge because I put my link up on Twitter.
Well, and I will, but listen, and last week, my mouth was watering for the DeBrunos with the Kobe Bryant. You were going to give it up to me and give the two winners. The other guy called up and gave Curry. But Otani deserved a win.
Yeah.
Anyhow, another point that I wanted to make is when they first hired Buddy Ryan, what was really when I started to listen to WIP and the sports radio. But I remember, and I just want to say this to Eagle fans, back in 1980, a good friend of yours stood up down at the JFK Stadium after the Phillies won the World Series. Do you remember what Michael, and this is part of history, and these millennial guys and these rubber ducky guys, they need to know all this.
Well, what they said is, you know, it was, the World
Series. Mike Schmidt got up there and he said, this World Series, we have to savor it. Because he understood and he knew how hard it was to win a championship. The stars have to be aligned. You have to have luck.
So I got a question for you. You know, just like the Super Bowl, we have to savor. And so now we're moving on to the Eagles. What do you take out of Thursday night's preseason game?
I thought that Jalen Hurts looked okay. I think that I know that first ball he threw, the first ball he threw of the game, I was like, wow, where'd that come from? When he laid that ball out there on the flat, and the guy he caught that ball running in motion.
So that it wasn't
where he
had
to stand there and wait for it. He was moving when he caught that ball.
So you're happy with Jalen Hurts after the first game?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm okay with him. Yep.
All right, John. All right, we'll put you in there for. I broke a lot of stories, but the fact that you remembered that I said that the Eagles were going to trade McNabb, which I remember, and hold on, we'll register. I remember talking to Daniel Snyder that December before, and George Michael, who people remember, I did a segment on his national show. It was a disc jockey here, which people, I'm sure, many people don't remember, but he was did the what was called the Sports Machine on Sunday nights. And I asked, Daniel Snyder asked me, you think the Eagles would trade McNabb? I said, nah, they're not going to trade. That was in December. And then all of a sudden things started turning. It was crazy. I'll tell you in a little while why Andy Reid did trade McNabb. There was a few reasons, but I'll tell you one of them. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Good morning. Hey.
Hi.
I'd like to start with actually just a very quick comment, if you can make. If Joey Votto was with the Phillies right now, A, would he be the difference to get them over the hump? And B, where would he be in the lineup in terms of positioning?
Well, where would he be in the lineup?
Yeah.
He'd be a 2, 3, or 4 hitter. Because he walks, he hits, and he hits with power. So he'd be somewhere in there, and he'd play first base. He's a really good first baseman.
Right, right. So you would not move him into the outfield,
no.
into the left field, and move McCutcheon into center.
No, and McCutcheon can't play center anymore. He doesn't have the legs to do it anymore. That's why he's in left field.
Well, yeah, but compared to what we've been doing out there.
Well, yeah, no, he's just not. He's just not a center fielder anymore.
Do you think he would make the impact difference to make this a truly legitimate?
Well, he'd make the team better, but would it make a difference? There's really a lot of holes, but that would fill one. It would help the lineup be more consistent. Yeah, if they had him in this division this year, yes, but that's a hypothetical that we'll never know. They don't have him, and Cincinnati does, and Cincinnati's lineup is not just Joey Votto, but he really is important in that lineup. So
correct.
what's your moment, Joe, that you
remember? Actually, everyone's got a moment of this and that. It's not about winning the gift by no means. I believe it or not, I believe the WIP moment is just a constant emphasis by your station to reach out to the community. I'm sincere about that. You've got people with illness that somehow, or they go to an Eagles game, you do all these remotes as a company. And I just think it's amazing how it brings people together. I really do. And
well, that's nice of you.
You know. That's where
nice.
I am with that.
Okay.
One last question, if I may.
Sure.
With the Eagles, what I got out of the first game, as simple as it is it looked like that coaching staff teaches and certainly seemed organized. And that's my concern right now.
No, Joe, I will, and I, hold on. You know what? But you said you don't really care about winning, and that's nice of you. But, yeah, we do a lot of things at WIP. But as far as the Eagles coaches, and thanks for the call, Joe, I watched on the sidelines. Yeah, there was no problems. Everything was not only under control. They were very organized. You know, it's just they have coached before. So I watched Nick Sirianni. He was really, really concentrating and focused, as every coach would do. It was his first game as a head coach, even though it was preseason. So, you know, all those things were a factor. Rob who was a former intern at WIP. Rob, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm great. When were you an intern at WIP?
I was an intern in 2003, 2004. Then a couple of years after that, I worked with Big Daddy, so I was on the air with him a lot. But when it specifically comes to you, first of all, when everyone asks me about how the hosts are, and I say, you're the nicest, they think I'm crazy. And I said, well, that's true, because you were great. But what was funny about the time with me and you, I think it was Michael Jordan was retiring, his last game at playing the Sixers. And we're doing a remote, and we're sitting, and all of a sudden, Ron Harper and Warren Sapp jump the guardrail and take over the show. And just, I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was hilarious. They just came out of nowhere and jumped the guardrail.
Well, I knew Warren Sapp really well from the University of Miami and straight through, and I got to know Ron Harper. But yeah, it was, and that was here. That the first time he retired, yes, was here in Philadelphia. It's
amazing. It was great. And the other interesting part about that day is, it was funny. You ran out to get food in between breaks, and you said, "Listen, if I'm not back, you have to go on the air." And I'm sure you were kidding, but being a kid in college, like, I finally get to go on the radio. And there's about 20 seconds to go. You weren't there. 10 seconds to go. You finally got there, and you looked at me, and you're like, "You almost had your shot, kid." you got to chuckle out of that.
Well, Rob, you know, the fact that you remember the Michael Jordan situation, but again, there's more than that. If somebody comes up with this other one, that will beat you. But, Rob, how are you doing these days? Everything cool?
Fantastic. I mean, I have my own podcast. I know a lot of people at the station. One of the reasons I get into radio is really because of you and Big Daddy. And as far as me not being involved with it, what really I loved radio about, and this goes back years, is the whole Eric Lindros, Joey Marlena saga. And you went down to try to get Joey on the air, and then he just called in as Joey from South Philly. And I thought that was hilarious. It was great radio. I want you to get back to doing your show. And I just wanted, like I tell everybody, you're a class act, you're a good guy, and it was you know how people are, how they treat lower-level people. And I was a lowly intern, and you gave me advice, and you were great, and I just wanted to tell you that and keep doing what you're doing.
Rob, that's really nice of you to say that. I try to be myself both on the air and off the air, and it's not an act on the air. It's the way I'm very opinionated, and people, I'm just like everybody else. I'm no different. I just happen to be on the air and people hear and then on TV and see what I do. It's easier to be nice than to be a jerk.
There's some other people, I won't mention any names, that are complete characters on the air, and they're a different way off the air. But I won't get into that. But that would be a great show if we could ever do that.
One day we may. We may. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for calling.
No problem, Howard. I'll keep listening. And, you know, like I said, you're one of the reasons I got in the radio. And keep being you.
Okay, stay in touch.
All right, Howard. I'll see you.
Take care. That was a nice call. People are going to expose me for being a nice guy. I don't want to be exposed. No, I'm kidding. But no, it's just, especially interns, they're trying to get into the business. And I've had a few interns that have worked with me that have become very successful in the business. And that's always a good thing to see people succeed. 215-592-9494. Hoping to hear from Arthur if he's not back in jail. Nick Seriani speaks to the media at 9:40. We'll have that. And we'll have your calls at 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is 8:56. Hey, if you're from around here, you know the truth about treats. Yes, you do. If it's not Tasty Cake, it's a Miss Cake. Tasty Cake's so good. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins. It's a Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter. A bigger Miss Cake. Or one of the worst of all in terms of a Miss Cake, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's August. If it's not Tasty Cake, it's a Miss Cake. This time of the day, any time of day is actually good for Tasty Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or a rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Oh, they're so good, and so is everything else. Tasty Cake, accept no substitutes. 94 WIP as we roll into hour number two. Your thoughts on the Eagles, good, bad, and the ugly was the backup players in the second half. I mean, Pittsburgh just There was, and they just couldn't stop him. But again, that doesn't matter. A lot of those guys won't even be on the team. Your thoughts on Jalen Hurts? Again, it was only the first preseason game. The Phillies are what they are. Can they win the division? Sure, they can win the division. Are they good enough to compete with other teams? Well, we saw that they're not against the Dodgers. And Cincinnati's a better team. I think the Braves are a better team, but the Braves have a little tougher schedule. But the Braves, again, they're playing that weak, weak team. That weak team Washington stinks. I mean, they're a double-A team. But we'll do that. And the Sixers are, in my opinion, and if you dispute it, go ahead. They are totally irrelevant right now. And our question to win the $100 gift certificate, it's kind of an interesting, it's an opinion, it's a question. Your thoughts to win the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. Check them out at thebruno.com for all the great stuff and the great food. And they have mail order too. But you can check them out and check out their new store in Wayne, one of their six stores. The question is, August 29th, now this is a point of fact, August 29th, 35 years ago in 1986, I did the first sports talk show on WIP. But it was for everything. Build it, you know, based on what happened this week, Field of Dreams. Build it, they will come. And people came to WIP, and they came because of all of us, not just because of me, but because of all of us. But I was fortunate enough to get the ball rolling. Your thoughts of your memories of things that happened on WIP with me, for one, obviously, but on WIP in itself, your memories, and what started you listening to WIP? I know a lot of people said, their father used to have it on and they listened in the car, and people that are 35 and younger got tuned in by their dads. So that's our question. It's kind of an opinion type thing on what you remember, and we'll deal with it and talk about it that way. All right, let's go back to the phones and let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Yes, hi. I wanted to ask you about who makes the decision if what number of prospect is, in other words, a fourth best, a fifth best, who makes that decision?
Well, within the team makes their own decision, but within baseball, there's baseball people, and you have groups, whether it's Baseball America or whatever, to decide where the prospects ranked based on the information that they get. It's a lot of opinion. The Phillies have never had a high number of top 100 prospects, never.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is like
since the era in 2008, kind of
right
back then.
But since like for instance, when a scout told a different host on WIP that Spencer Howard was going to be a good prospect and he stunk, and these people are lousy at picking talent, and I'm saying why does the owner of the Phillies allowed this to happen, and these new scouts aren't much better, and our general manager's not much better. I mean, he brings up this Palomino who stunk down there in the minors. This guy,
well,
Rivera,
here's the problem. They hired the wrong general manager in, what was it, 2016. They hired the wrong president in Andy McPhail. They hired the wrong general manager in Matt Klentak, who I actually saw this week. Nice guy, but he was a failure as a general manager. The minor league system was based on analytic statistics, which is nonsense, rather than judging a player for what you see on the field. They've had bad minor league coaches and development people, and that had a change. And Dave Dombrowski, I'm sure, has already made some changes. They can't get away from this nonsense with the analytics, and they use it too much. It's not that they use it; they use it too much, and that's the problem. And they got to find a happy medium.
Look at this stiff Mickey Moniak. But I want to get to my point. What impressed me, why I listen to you more than anybody else, and everything. Like, I go all the way back to when you and Steve Fredericks and Bill Campbell and everybody was more direct and more to the point. what I like about you, speaking about ClinTech, you were the only one that came out one year. You're honest, whether people like it or not. Mm. You call him a fake, a phony, and a fraud, and you did that to...
Yeah, but I don't know if I was the only one. People.
Well, yeah, but nobody else on the air that I heard said that. They called him a fraud, mm-hmm. which he is. But everybody else,
Well, you know what? I'll call out people. I mean, that's what I do on the air. That's what I do. And that's what I do when I talk to people. And thanks for the call, Jim. Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. It's a great day to talk to you, and it's not every day you get an opportunity to talk to the king.
Well, it's appointment radio on Saturday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I met you in November of 2016 at a Wolfgang Puck event down at the Borgata. In Atlantic
yep.
City.
Yep.
And I think it was hosted by WIP, or you guys were sponsors, and that event
Well, we did shows. Yeah, we did shows down there. Yeah, we do shows down there. But I made sure on the Friday night and Saturday when I'm there, I knew Wolfgang Puck, I know Bobby Flay, Michael Schulson, the different chefs for the Italian restaurant. Now it's Michael Simon. I got to know Michael Simon, who's a big sports fan. He's from Cleveland. So occasionally we talk. So, you know, I get to know all those people, and those events are fun for people. And I always made sure that I would stop at those events.
It was great. Unlimited food, unlimited beverages. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Yeah, I don't eat as much anymore, but it is good.
Yeah, me neither, actually.
So what's your Sixers point? You have a Sixers point.
I do. I feel like that loud crashing noise was the window of opportunity slamming shut. I think this year was their opportunity to maybe win it all if Ben Simmons could have crawled out of his turtle shell, but he just never did.
Because he's been coddled. He's been given everything that he wants. I don't want to work with that coach. Okay, no problem. And it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace how they handle. And I know you can't handle players the same now as you used to. But they coddle Joel Embiid. But at least he's a really good player. Ben Simmons is a fraud. An absolute, and I recognized this years ago, an absolute total fraud. The most overrated player in the last, I think, in the last 20 years for the 76ers. He sucks. And
I
agree. He has brought this team down. I don't care what the record was last year. You knew they had no chance in the playoffs. It just, you don't have to guard him. He can't run a half court. It's just, I don't want to go through all the things with Ben Simmons. It is absolutely awful that he's still with the team. That is awful that he's still with the team. And if he's with the team at the beginning of the year, and I can't believe that's going to happen, Daryl Morey ought to resign. He should resign if Ben Simmons is on this team to start the season. I don't care if you get a bag of popcorn, if you get a bag of peanuts, whatever you get is a plus because you get this guy off the team. And they can say, oh, he's this and he's talented and he's really his value. What is his value? He's a fraud. He's brutal. There's now with the rookies coming in, there's at least 30 players, at least 30 players that are better than he is. It's a joke. It is a joke.
Hey, Howard, he fooled everybody, including me. When he broke his foot that next year, he had some exciting moments, and I was like, wow, this guy's going to be awesome.
He's athletic, but he can't perform the simple skills of a point guard, which is shooting, which is not being afraid to go to the foul line and shooting fouls. It's really a joke. Hey, what is your memory?
So it was a day just like today in 2000. I'm out in the yard with WIP on with my little kids at the time. They were like 2 and 3 years old washing my truck. And, you know, we're listening and they break, you know, some original breaking news. And they signed John Runyon. And I said to my 2-year-old, I said, oh, my gosh, the Eagles just got great. And he looked up at me like, what are you talking about? But I really feel like that's when they really turned the corner. And that's the first best free agent I can remember the Eagles getting.
Well,
and I just
will
never forget
that
day.
Have. But you have it at WIP because although there's breaking news everywhere, we talk about it. And WIP became better and better at doing that. And I'm fortunate to have started when there was an idea, and I'll explain it down the line, who had the idea and the fact that they asked me to do a sports talk show, and that was the vision. And the guy's name was Mike Craven, who was the general manager of both WIP and MMR, was part of the company at that time. And he asked me if I would do it. And I just said, yeah, because I had done it before, and it kind of started the ball rolling, and you build it, they will come, and they certainly did. Hey, Scott, thanks.
Hey, you built the foundation, Howard. You built the foundation.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks, Scott. Thanks. Let's go to Joe's next. Is that right, Kyle? All right, Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing? My moment would be Sugar Ray Leonard was in the studio.
He was actually at a remote. He was actually at a remote.
Well,
I thought
was when Larry Menke called Angelo and informed them about the Twin Towers being hit, and that's when Sugar Ray was on the air with Angelo.
Well, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah. Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard.
I don't
know
what connection he had with that. I don't remember
he was in as a guest with Angelo when the Twin Towers were hit.
Oh, okay.
And Angelo broke away with Larry Menke.
Yeah, well, that was a major story in American history. But so it's the moment of the Twin Towers, but Sugar Ray Leonard and I remember having Sugar Ray at a remote, which was great. I've had other people at remotes, and that's another moment, which we'll see if people remember. There's a couple of really big moments, and we're going to do this again in a couple of weeks. Next week, I'm going to ride in the Eagles Autism Challenge. By the way, I've posted the link if people would be kind enough to donate to my bike ride. But did you have a comment about the Phillies?
Yeah, about the Phillies. Howard, I live and die with the Phillies. You know, I go back with Chico Ruiz in 64, and it wasn't only Chico Ruiz who stole home. I remember Willie Davis for the Dodgers also stole home, too. And, you know, I get upset with this. You know, last year we couldn't win a ball game against Tampa Bay to get in there. The way the Phillies are going about their business, first of all, wouldn't you think it would have been a good idea these past few days to send Alec Bohm back down to the minor leagues till they expand the roster?
Well, Joe Girardi was asked about that yesterday. They're not going to do that. And
yeah.
Listen, I saw Alec Bohm go out and take extra infield yesterday.
Right.
And he missed. He didn't catch two out of every five balls.
Mm-hmm.
He can't play defense.
Right.
I don't know that that's ever going to change. That's who he is. If he doesn't hit, he's useless to the team. You notice
right.
that he's not starting a lot more games.
And he's got to get one back coming off the bench here, Howard. You know, and right now he's overmatched. I would think maybe next year off season, you know, the winter ball with the COVID, but try to maybe an outfield position if he can play it, because if they go to the designated hitter next year, you still want to. If we still have Hoskins,
Here's the bottom line. Everybody wants to change people to outfielders, thinking it's easy to play the outfield. It's not
right.
easy to play the outfield. You got to judge fly balls. You got to get to him. I don't know if he's fast enough.
He's
not an outfielder, Joe.
Let's get
it out of your head. Get it out of your head.
You got to trade him. He's got no value.
Try to
trade him.
He's
and
got no value.
The use of this bullpen.
He's got no value.
Girardi.
He's got very little value. Here's the difference. He's either got to play. He worked at first base. Let me just explain this to you. He worked infield at first base yesterday. He's doing that a lot more.
Right.
And he's going to either have to be a first baseman, and you hope he's better, or a DH. But they're loaded with DH. They got Rhys Hoskins as a DH. They got Alec Bohm as a possible DH. And JT Realmuto, in 3 years, less than 3 years now, will be a DH a lot of the times. It's just they're loaded with DHs, and that rule will be there. And I appreciate the call. Thanks for the call. Joe, 215-592-9494. I got two moments that I remember. And again, a hint. One was a phone call from a player, and one was a remote. And I've had a lot of players at remotes, whether they be Super Bowl remotes, and had like some of the greatest players that ever in their sport, greatest athletes ever in their sport. But there's two moments that I'll never forget. And I'm going to mention them if people don't. 215-592-9494. The Phillies play again this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Matt Moore's pitching. Do you have confidence? I shouldn't even ask that. It's just, Phillies can't hit. It doesn't matter about the pitching right now if you can't hit. And against good teams, they obviously have had trouble scoring runs. They're not playing the minor league Washington Nationals. And they're not playing a Mets team that couldn't score. 215-592-9494. WIP Sports Time is now 919. 94 WIP on a Saturday morning. Eagles' next preseason game. They practice today. They're back on the practice field. Nick Sirianni speaks to the media at approximately 940, and we'll have that for you. To see, now that he's watched the tape, if there's anything else that he picked up. And then next week, they scrimmage against the New England Patriots, which is kind of, I would be shocked after the scrimmages this week if Jalen Hurts plays more than one series next week. I would be shocked because they treat the scrimmages more importantly than they treat the games. So Jalen Hurts, and so we're not going to be able to really determine, I don't think, what Jalen Hurts can do in preseason games. I just don't think it's going to happen because he's not going to play that much. So it's not going to be until the regular season when they open against Atlanta on September 12th. That's the first time we're really going to know something. And when backup players play well, and we already know, okay, Quez Watkins is now the hot name in training camp. And okay, so it'll be interesting to see how many snaps he gets, more snaps early in the season than Jalen Reagor. It will be interesting to see that. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. First time caller.
Nice to have you on, Joe.
Long time. What's that?
Nice to have you on. How long have you been listening? And you're a first-time caller?
Oh, yep. Yeah. Been listening since my mom making gravy and meatballs on that transistor radio with Brookshire.
Well, okay.
It's awesome. I still see her right now listening to that radio.
That's great.
But what I wanted to call about is all these athletes that keep getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they rest them and they're always, you know, giving them a rest, they say, and stuff like that. But to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I've been talking to my friends about the same thing. The training that they're training these guys are actually beating them up, training them wise, lifting weights so much and everything else that it's kind of they're getting too big for their tendons and their, you know, all their ligaments and things like that. That they end up keep breaking down, like pitchers,
well, you know what?
Football
that's,
players.
That's actually a better than decent opinion. It's a good opinion. There are some beliefs. There's no medical history, but I think that they build up them muscularly, and they're you can't build up the tendons and the ligaments. They are what they are, and a lot of times the muscles are too big. Again, it's an opinion, not just by me, but by doctors. But again, there's no medical proof that that's the case. And that is, that could be a reason. And then players are babied a lot more. I think the injuries, you know, 10, 15 years ago, players would play through them. Now, if it's the slightest injury, players worry about their contracts. Players worry about their money. Teams worry about because they don't have as many players because of, you know, the salary cap kind of prohibits you from having a really deep bench anymore, because if a player becomes good, he's going to sign for more money somewhere else. But I don't know if there's an answer to making it better. I just don't know if there's an answer to that.
I got you.
You want to make sure the guys are in shape, but.
Hey, also let you know, my whole family listens to you, Howard. It's been listened to you for forever. You know, we're big fans of you.
Yeah, it started with your dad, or it started?
My mom. My mom used to listen to it.
So it was your mom. Okay. You said it was your mom, but I didn't know if you're, when you're in the car, whether it was dad or mom.
Oh, that too. I mean, it was, we always.
She made gravy.
To...
So here, I'm going to get into a little Italian here. Hey, is it red?
It's red.
Okay, so it's tomato sauce. And if it's tomato sauce with meat, it's tomato sauce with meat.
Oh, come on, Howard. Don't downplay it. You got to say the gravy. You got to give it a little tone to it.
You know what? I went to Italy a few years ago, and I asked every restaurant I was in what they called it. And not one of them, the Italians, not one of them called it gravy. I know in South Philly it's big. It's gravy. If it's red, it's gravy. Gravy's brown, okay?
Hey, listen to your buddy, the one that's always in jail. Ask him.
Okay. All right. Hey, Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thanks. And thanks for listening for all that time. Alex, you're on WIP.
Yeah, yo, genius. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I want to talk about the Phillies. Obviously, we're not doing pretty well with the better teams. Obviously, we beat a
minor league team in Washington. I mean, that's good that you can beat a minor league team.
Yeah. I think the Phillies will make the playoffs. They'll sneak in. I really do think we'll make the we'll win the division. Atlanta Braves have a lot of injuries. I know they trade for a lot of players at the deadline, but I feel like our pitching, even though it blows in a bullpen, they'll end up coming up on top. Our starting staff's pretty good, especially with the addition of Kyle Gibson. And I like Ian Kennedy coming out of the bullpen for closing. The whole Harper thing for MVP, that's not going to happen. I don't know why a lot of people are saying that. He's not even MVP of our team, like you said earlier.
Yeah, it's Zach Wheeler. Bryce Harper's having a really nice year. He's having a better year than he's had previously with the Phillies, but he's not the MVP. I mean,
he's not the MVP. I mean, even after Wheeler, I'd say Gene Segura is having a better year than Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I wouldn't take Gene Segura. I mean, because he doesn't play hard all the time. But I mean, Harper would be second on this team, but he's fifth in my opinion. He's fifth in the National League, no better than fifth.
Well, that's also due to a lot of injuries around the league, like Acuna. Tatis Jr., freaking, there's a couple other guys.
I think Tatis, Albies for Atlanta, Freddie Freeman for Atlanta, Joey Votto for Cincinnati.
Even Max,
all better
Max Muncy,
MVP candidates. Yeah.
Even Max Muncy from the Dodgers. He's playing pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him, but I would take those four over Harper for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And so, did you have a moment, Alex?
I've been listening to this talk show. I'm only 22, but I've listened to this talk show in the radio with my dad in the car for as long as I can remember. Favorite moment was probably, I'll go back to 2007. I remember listening to this radio talk show right before we made finished the Mets off going to the playoffs. I forget who was on. I don't think it was you, but it was someone else. They were talking about our stride going into the playoffs. Then we got swept by the Rockies right after that.
Yeah, that was the playoff series. The Phillies won, and then the Rockies swept them three in a row.
We end up getting the Mets and getting over them, and then, yep.
So at what age do you remember starting to listen to WIP, Alex?
Probably 6 or 7 years old.
Wow. Hey, man, I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening, and thanks for calling for the first time. All right, let's go to Chuck. And, Chuck, I got to tell you that – I don't have much time because I got to get ready for Sirianni, but I wanted to get you on.
You give me the time capsule limit, and we'll deal with it. 30
Just go ahead. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
I think what you're discounting, good morning, by the way. I think what you're discounting is how easy the schedule is. I mean, you got 14 tough games, and then you have 32 games against the worst teams in baseball. Everybody's in there. There's Pittsburgh, Colorado.
Wait a minute, didn't they lose 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh last time they played?
I'm just doing this collectively. I don't have
okay,
much time.
Okay, yeah, but here's what I'm going to tell you. They're not playing a minor league team anymore.
I'm already off the rail. All right, go ahead.
Hey, well, I'm just responding to you, Chuck. Chuck, on our program log, it says Howard Eskin Show. All right, just want to let you know.
You always run it with me. You know you are in control. You're the guy.
Correct.
I'm listening. I'm just listening.
Hey, listen, I think they can win the division. I don't think they're a good team. I think they're just an average team. I don't think they're going to do anything in the playoffs.
Okay.
If they get to the playoffs. I think Atlanta's the best team in the division
right
now.
Let's assume they win the division. Can they win the first round at home?
Wait a minute. They don't play the first round at home.
Not play at home? If you win a division, you play a wild card team at home.
Oh, a wild
card. What about that? I think I'm going to end on that note.
Who's the wild card team? Just give me an answer.
It's going to come from the West. You know who it's going to be.
Okay, the answer is no.
They can't.
They're not better than San Diego. They're not better than San Francisco, and they're not better than the Dodgers.
Even though they beat San Diego 2 out of 3, they can't compete at home.
They're not going to beat San Diego. They're not going to beat the Dodgers.
Are you aware
and they're not
of San
beat
Diego?
The Giants.
Well, what's their road deficiencies now? How do they match up San Diego on the road? I think you'd be shocked to know. Anyway, okay. I think we're
all right.
Time.
Hey,
right.
Chuck, I got to run, Chuck. I got to run. All right. 215-592-9494. Nick Sirianni is going to come up shortly. WIP Sports Time is now 9:34. Hey, if you're from around here, you know the truth about treats. If it's not tasty cake, it's a miss cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins, that's a miss cake. Spoonful of peanut butter, that's a bigger miss cake. Worst miss cake of all, it's your kid's Halloween candy, and it's August. If it's not tasty cake, it's a miss cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, except no substitutes. 94 WIP. All right, let me I start thinking about it. I don't see how the Phillies can play a wild card team. So, Chuck, I don't know where you get that. The two wild card teams play each other, and then the winner of that wild card game plays the team with the best record. And then the Phillies would play the next team, which would probably be Milwaukee. And no, I don't think they can beat Milwaukee, and they wouldn't play at home. They would play on the road to start the series. So, Chuck's just way out of whack. He can't get off his computer. He can't get off, what he deems his tremendous baseball knowledge. In some cases, he makes some good points. But he just goes, and then he tries to tell me how to run my show. I guess I should not put him on, and then he would have complained that I didn't put him on. But anyway, the Eagles play again on Saturday night and Thursday night, and they're going to play next week. They're going to scrimmage. They will scrimmage against the New England Patriots. So that will be kind of their game, because Jalen Hurts is going to play a lot in those scrimmages. And that really, I think, for the coaching staff and for Nick Sirianni, and he will not say, I guarantee you, Nick Sirianni will not say how much he's going to play Jalen Hurts in the game. Because the fans that are coming out to the game, I mean, they want to see, and people that don't play their quarterbacks. Now, Dak Prescott's hurt, so I kind of understand that. But not in the case of Josh Allen, but they were playing on the road. I don't know if Josh Allen, who's the Buffalo Bills quarterback, will play in the second game, but a lot of these coaches aren't playing their first string players. And I'm not quite sure whether that's the case. All right. We'll take a call, but I might have to cut you off if Nick Sirianni comes up. Let's go to Andre. Andre, you're on WIP.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Let me tell you, I first ran into WIP. I was listening to another station at the time. I used to record my oldies, and a commercial came on. I normally don't turn, but I turned, and I happened to come across Steve Fredericks talking on the radio station that day, and I never turned back. And
who did you come across on the radio station?
Steve Fredericks.
Boy, that goes way back.
His voice caught my attention, and I didn't know it was I didn't even know about a sports station at first, and then I didn't know he was a sports tasting person when he started talking about other stuff. But then when he said, we'll now talk about the Eagles, like I said, I never went back to my station. I'm 62 years old now, and everything in my house, radios upstairs, equal dots downstairs, upstairs, everything is on WIP. And I talked to you that day when he was on your station. I guess he had just retired. And his topic was, did you find another station by radio surfing? And I had to call. I don't know if you remember it then, but I had to call and let
remember
him know.
It like it was yesterday.
Okay. And my moment was, I don't know if you remember, this was at the Spectrum when Dale Dawkins invited everybody to his party, gave the address and everything, and I heard like thousands of people showed up. They was turning. I think he had it on a boat or something.
Yeah, but that wasn't a moment on WIP. That was just a moment that you remember. I
used to listen to the game, so I thought connected to that as well. But I met you. I don't know. Like I said, I met you in King of Prussia when you was at Hooters. You had Urban Fry as your guest, and
We did. I guess we did remotes from up there at one point.
Yes, okay. I got you and Urban Fry to sign autographs with me and my wife. And it was a big blow up between Urban Fry and one of the callers. Urban Fry had invited him to come down so they can get it on. I don't know if you remember that, but I was like, wow,
I remember doing things with Urban Fryer. I remember doing things with a lot of players on football shows. Tommy McDonald, may he rest in peace. Chuck Bednarik, same thing, may he rest in peace. Two Hall of Famers that I did shows with. But yeah, there was a lot of good things. There were really a lot of good things. And WIP just, it becomes, it's habit for people. What WIP is, it's habit for people. And
when I met you, I had my sight. I'm blind now. So WIP helps me through my day. Like I said, you know, everything in my house.
Andre, let me run because we're going to listen to Nick Sirianni's news conference. Kyle, tell me when it's we're ready to roll. Okay, let's go to Nick Sirianni.
You say what you say in a post-game press conference, and then you come back and it's something different. But it was pretty much similar to what I said. It was a crisp, crisp first half. Like, the ones and twos in that first half, they were crisp. And it was a sloppy second half. I look forward to being able to correct all the mistakes with the guys today in film session and get better from it.
How did Sua play at the guard spot? Looked like you got a lot of reps.
Yeah.
How's he coming along at that spot?
Just like any game, you have some good plays and you have some bad plays that you want back. And I definitely think Sua had more good than bad. And he's got some just natural power to be able to move guys. So, and we saw that in the game on Thursday.
When you were negotiating a practice schedule for the joint practices with Belichick, what was that like? What were those conversations like?
Yeah, just like a normal conversation with how we get ready for a practice with our staff. Just because, you know, I think people would be shocked about how much detail goes into planning each and every practice. And so And you talk about each and every practice, but then you have to set the stage right at the beginning of like, hey, here's how we practice. Like, so it's like you start from the beginning, you just have to talk about every detail. And so it was just like normal talking to other guys. And we're still having ongoing conversations to get ready for practice on Tuesday.
Do you have a home field advantage in those negotiations because you're here?
I just think you just want your team to work and get better from the scenario, and you want his team to be able to work and get better from it, so you can continue to build a relationship and work with each other. So it's I wouldn't say home field advantage, just work so you're both getting what you want.
You said everything was crisp in the first half. With Jalen specifically, any different takeaways after watching the film versus before?
Gosh, you know, I thought he played better than I even thought when I got into the room on Thursday night. I just thought he was in complete command of the offense. Again, we're talking about 10 plays, right? But you're still evaluating those like it's 60. So great command of the offense, great checks, great, you know, perfect ball to Dallas on that check that he made that allowed when you put the ball where he put that ball, that's where you get yards after catch, and Dallas was strong with the run. But yeah, I was really really pleased with the way he played. You know, there's one or two that I'm like, I wanted you to step up and rip it back to the backside, but you know, that's what we're learning from that.
Done differently on the long pass to Quez that didn't quite connect.
You know,
was that pressure? Or was that?
No, I just think like there's just that timing factor too. Like the DB did a good job of, you know, posting his hand on Quez as he was going vertical. So you kind of saw the DB post his hand. Quez was a little late to get the hand off, and it slowed him down just a tick. And this is a timing game and precision. It's just getting the rep over and over again with Quez, like, what am I going to do when he gets a little bump, and what am I going to do in this? So I thought it was a ball that it would have been right on if Quez didn't get bumped.
Sharing the field with Belichick for 2 days as a head coach, what kind of thoughts does that evoke for you? What kind of influence maybe has he been?
Well, I think I've mentioned before that I really enjoy watching documentaries on great teams, great coaches, great players. Well, shoot, this is the best in the business ever to coach. I mean, this is the best NFL coach ever. And so really look forward to learning from him. And just like we watch tape of guys, like, you know, just like we throw on the tape and say, hey, well, look how you watch this, how to run this route, look how to read this play of players in the NFL. I'll do the same thing here with Coach Belichick.
Have you been asked him before? Like, do you know him before?
I didn't, no. So look forward to getting to know him.
Do you have any sense for Devontae right now, how he's coming on his rehab and his chances on Thursday?
Yeah, right now he's day-to-day. I don't want to put a timetable as far as if he'd be ready for Thursday. I don't know yet. So he's working hard and working hard to get back, and our trainers and our strength staff is doing a great job of bringing him back. And so he's day-to-day, and look forward to seeing him out there in practice soon.
A lot of first-year coaches don't like doing joint practices because they're just trying to put their thing in the first year. To do two of them, what do you see the value as to do two different sets of them?
Yeah, I just think the monotony of camp, sometimes you get to go against other people and just work your game versus other people. And, you know, it's game-like, right? And so, but it's in a controlled setting. You know, you can't get enough of those game-like situations because, you know, you may have something scripted for practice, and this is just like a game goes. You have something scripted, you'll go through it, and then something pops up, and you got to adjust to it. Like, the more we can put ourselves in that scenario as coaches and players, the better.
What's been your messaging to Jalen in terms of protecting himself and knowing when to slide, when not to, when to throw the ball away?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, just... Yes, exactly that. No one to protect yourself and no one to extend plays. You know, one of his greatest abilities that he has, though, is to extend plays. But there's also a time when you got to know, hey, this play's done. Play the next play. Save yourself a hit. So it really is, it's play by play. And it's like, did I think you should extend this one? No. Did I think you did a good job extending this one? Yeah. And just trying to teach it just like you teach any other thing.
Should you ever try and take on a tackler, or should you always slide?
Again, that's sometimes like when you slide, I see, you know, there's times where you're like, there's times when if you slide, you put yourself at risk too because the guys are coming in as well. And so there's times where a dive is better than a slide. And so we always want to limit his hits. You know, we always want to limit any quarterback's hits. Like I think I've told you guys this before, like my favorite stat to look at when you're good at this stat is sacks. And that's one of the most important, like how are we protecting our quarterback? Because that's a huge thing to protect the quarterback and take the hits off him, and it's no different in a scrambling situation.
Hey Nick, with Dillard hurt and with the way Jordan's playing, are you going into this now thinking that Jordan's your starting left tackle?
Still got a lot of time, Zach. You know, we still got a lot of time to work through everything and a lot more time before we play Atlanta. So not there yet. Just want to continue to see Jordan get better every single day.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mike McCoy when you served under him?
Yeah, it's great to have him here. Yeah, it's really great to have him here and see in practice. You know, he was. I always respected how much Mike paid attention to situations. He just there's so many situations that pop up in a game, and I'm not just talking about third down. I'm not talking about red zone. I'm including those 2 minute backed up 4 minute. I'm including those, but there's so many situations within situations. There's so many things that pop up. And he always spent a ton of time talking about those things and practicing those things and walking through those things. And it made us a smarter football team. I do believe that we definitely became a smarter football team because of it. And so I always took that from him. And, you know, he was always just I always thought he was great with our families, too. Like my wife can't wait to see him today. Right. And so. To say hi to him because he was just always great with the families and it made it a family atmosphere there at the Chargers.
Getting back to your extending sort of the play conversation, what's the teaching point for climbing the pocket versus flushing out? Do you prefer, is that something you kind of...
Again, it's play by play. I mean, you know, Jalen and I haven't watched a game together yet, but yeah, I'm going to tell him on the one where he scrambled that, like, boom, step up in the pocket and take a look at where Dallas was on that play against cover two and rip it to him. And then run. So it's again, it's you don't want to take away what one of his biggest values are. You want him to use that with all his other talents, right? Because he did a great job of stepping up in the pocket, and we'll talk about that play today. But I don't ever want to limit him to you know with what he's gifted at. But then again, you're just trying to make improvements of when you stay in the pocket as well.
Nick, there was 11 running plays the other night with the running back competition, you know, pretty tight. Is there anything you take away from what you saw Thursday night from that position?
Yeah, you know, it's just, again, we're evaluating the running backs on everything, right? It's not just the running plays. You know, it's the protections, it's the routes, it's all sorts of things. We really, you know, this is no secret. We really are going to use our running backs in the pass game. We're going to. They create great mismatches in games. So, you know, we were able to, you know, didn't have a lot of offensive plays. I believe we had 45 offensive plays. So every play is an evaluation. You know, a couple plays that really stick out, I'll mention a couple guys by name. Jordan Howard had a pickup on a third down where he just drilled the guy. That was awesome to see. You love that intensity there. And I'm talking about pass plays. And then Kenny Gainwell had a chip on a defensive end, and every, you know, as we watched in the coaches meeting, we were like, ooh, that one hurt. That slowed that guy down the next time. So it was good to see the physical play of the back. Kenny also slipped the tackle. The guy had him wrapped up. You just saw how strong he is in the lower body. So we're evaluating, even though it wasn't as many running plays as we normally would do, it was still a great tool to evaluate.
Obviously, with Andre last year, we spoke about how much it weighed on him to have that injury. Obviously, this one's not as serious, but what is your message to him, and have you had an opportunity to talk to him about keeping his mental state?
Yeah. You know, Jeff, we've talked to the entire team about adversity, and that was one of our talks to the team in a team meeting, and that just that, guys, adversity's coming, right? I don't, you know, If you go 17-0, it may not come as much. That's you know, but adversity is coming. Even if you go 17-0, guys are gonna get dinged. Guys are gonna get, and it's just how do you learn from the adversity and move on and just play the next play. And that's just there's no difference between a loss, a bad play, an injury, etc. It's just, you know, learning that, and that's just the mentality we're trying to have, and we feel like we get that. Really, to be honest with you, the same way we get play. You know, you stress it. you talk about it. So, hey, on this play, I want this, 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 and this. The job description is very clear. Hey, when adversity hits, I want this, 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 and this. It's the same kind of format of how we talk to the players about it.
And Nick, we're still learning about you as a game manager.
All right. Nick Sirianni trying to actually talking about Thursday night's game forward, the practices, the scrimmages coming up with New England. You know, there was the question about the running game because he didn't utilize them in the run as much, but obviously he's trying to look at other things. And I had no issue with him not playing Sanders because Jordan Howard's going to have a hard time, I think, making this team with all the running backs they have. But anyway, Nick Sirianni, Ray and Glenn, I know we'll talk about what Nick Sirianni just said about the game. They'll take care of it all, and that's coming up. All right, for our $100 gift certificate, your moments that you remember from WIP, and the caller, who was it, Kyle? John?
Yes, John.
John, who remembered me going on the air and talking about that McNabb was going to be traded, and he won hundreds of dollars making a bet when he heard me say that with people that he was at. The two moments, you know what, I'm going to save the moments that were, and because we're going to do this again, next week I'm going to participate in the bike ride, the Eagles Autism Challenge. I'll call in from there. You know, I'll try to call in when I'm riding. And then the following week, which is right before the 35th anniversary, we will talk again about the moments. But there's two big moments that I remember. And we'll see if anybody comes up with them to win the $100 gift certificate. So, John, you win the $100 gift certificate for DeBruno Brothers. Check them all out at DeBruno.com, any one of their six stores. And everyone you will be absolutely, absolutely pleased with. Trust me on that. All right, Glenn and Ray are next. Kyle Quinn on the other side. If you missed any of today's show, we will post it on Twitter. I will post it on Twitter and Facebook, the podcast, and the Phillies play this afternoon against another good team, which will be tough for them. So everybody have a great weekend. I'm Howard Eskin. Glenn and Ray are coming up. Talk a lot, I'm sure, about the Eagles. And you have to touch on the Phillies. When they play good teams, they struggle. All right, everybody have a good one and enjoy it. WIP Sports Time is now 9:57.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!